To help inform our listeners about this fall's Asheville mayoral and city council elections, Asheville FM NewsHour reporters have been recording candidate interviews. This week, Andrew Fletcher answered questions about his candidacy for city council.
Andrew, introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Andrew Fletcher. I am a full-time professional musician. I play jazz piano. That's how most people have known me before a couple of years ago, where I started to use my free hours during the day to do some activism and stand up for the street performer community. And so that's what's kept me busy most for most of the past couple of years.
How would you finish the sentence, "I see myself as"?
That's a good question. I'd rather show people what I'm made of rather than tell people what I'm made of. That's sort of my guiding light with it. But if you'd have to know, I see myself as a translator between different groups of people. And so in the context of this race, I see myself as a translator between the needs of government and the needs of the people under that government.
How long have you been in Asheville?
I've lived in Asheville full-time for, it'll be 10 years in November, in fact. Though, because I was raised in Tryon, North Carolina, I spent a lot of time in Asheville as a visitor before I came up here full-time. I was very interested in the music and the culture here.
When you talk about Asheville, how do you describe it to people who don't live here?
Well, I generally tell people about my quality of life, about all of the art and the music and our beautiful downtown and all the amazing people here. Of course, if somebody's from Atlanta, I say, well, guess what? I generally have to drive about 10 minutes to work because I live in Kenilworth. And if I talk to somebody from New York, I say, well, guess what? I get to I live in a house. Sure, I have roommates, but I get to live in a house rather than a fifth-story walk-up.
On your website, you said, Asheville, it's about the beer, it's about the music, but it's really about the culture.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
This is a really creative place, and that's why I came here. And there are many, many, many people who came here because this was a place that they could practice their art. It's the real, I think, basis for a long-term sustainable tourist market is just basically what we've built here as locals is what people come to see.
You've been here 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's long enough to see Asheville go through a bit of change. Has it changed for the better or for the worse?
There's been some of both. I think the major issue that I see is that the cost and benefits of the tourist boom have been very unevenly distributed. We've seen a lot of success, but we haven't seen a lot of success for a lot of people. If you own a business or own property, times have probably been pretty good to you. If you rent or you're an employee, you've seen your wages not keep pace with the rest of your bills. You see having to go downtown and park and have to provide infrastructure for tourists that are using the same parking as well. It's harder and harder to get around in the city. It's harder to find a place. We have a very diminished level of housing stock for a wide number of reasons. So I'd like to make sure that the people like me who rent and work and create in the city also get to share in some of the success, and not just the people who own businesses and property.
Why are you running for city council?
Well, I'm running partially because I see a lack of people of my generation taking leadership roles. I see a lack of people in my socioeconomic bracket taking a leadership role in city. And I think that democracy works. Democracy works for those that get involved. And if you look at who our politics are good for, it lines up very neatly with the people who vote. And people who represent the people need to come from different places in life, different walks in life. We've got too many older, wealthy business and landowners. And sure enough, life is pretty good for them in this city. It's for everybody else that needs a voice.
Is there one thing in particular that aggravates you about city government?
Yeah, I learned this while I was in the thick of the busking conversation. There's a lot of city staff up in senior management, especially, who they have a plan and they then engage with the public at a lip service level, but not a substantive level. that is very disingenuous. I had some serious problems with that. I was able to overcome it, but it took over 2 years. And I think that some an openness and transparency and an ability to listen to our own people here needs to come from the top down, from city council through the city hiring positions and down into the department managers and the departments.
If you get to serve, is this one of the changes you'd like to see made early on?
Yes. That's a sort of a cultural change with how a big operation like the city government works. So it would take time. But I think that enough of the current candidates are interested in that, that we've got a good chance of getting a few people in there who are going to demand the kind of changes that I think the city needs.
What do you see are the top issues that this city needs to deal with sooner than later?
Affordable housing. That's a big one. I have had so many people that in my life move out of town, people who really contributed to this city, artists, musicians, people who really contribute to what makes this place a great place to live. So affordable housing is a big one. And there's about to be a lot of money coming down from the affordable housing bond. So the choices about that money coming up in the next council term are going to be really important. And I think because of the way I work and the way I've lived in the city for 10 years, that I could bring a really great perspective on how to do that.
Perspective is good, but how can the city really deal with these types of issues?
Well, that's a great question. At the toolbox at the local level is pretty limited, unfortunately. While I recognize that these problems are really complicated, the solutions aren't always present. I think that the city's legal department has been very, very timid in offering the kinds of tools to city council that is required. And I would like to see a city legal department that worked a lot harder to provide those legal tools to city council. And that's something I'd have to investigate as a council member rather than a candidate.
And have you gotten around to any of the neighborhoods to talk to people yet?
A little bit, yeah, I have.
What are you hearing from them? What are their issues?
You know, it's this is one of those things that's sort of tricky, because what do you do when you hear conflicts from different sides in the community? We need affordable housing, and yet when you talk to a lot of the neighbors, they're afraid of infill housing. You have these contradictory needs. That's a very difficult thing in politics. You can't just be for one or the other. You have to come up with a solution. So sometimes there's going to be times when affordable housing has to be put on another side of town, and sometimes there's going to be times when that infill housing is going to come to your neighborhood. It's about using judgment for not only just the good of the individual, the good of the neighborhood, but also the good of the entire city.
Your issues seem to be affordability, a living wage, mm-hmm. Try to balance the needs of economic development with also the needs of everyday life. How do you manage to balance those two?
Well, I don't believe that in trying to go back to the golden age. When people say, well, I want things to be the way they were, I'm not for that. You can't rewind the clock. When someone says to me, it's like, I wish my neighborhood was like it used to be, I just want to say, well, okay, well, instead of worrying about that too much, let's talk about what your neighborhood could be and how we can get it there in a way that's going to work for you and that addresses your concerns, but also acknowledges that change is inevitable.
You've worked on a couple of city committees. You worked on working on the Busker Collective mm-hmm. ordinance. You also worked on, to put it bluntly, the pit of despair.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about how those experiences help prepare you to become a city leader.
Those experiences are the things that told me when I got to work with city staff and council members, and I was able to serve well and was treated as an equal, I realized that I really had that capability. I'm very proud of my work on the Haywood Street Advisory Team. There's been 10 years of divisive politics about what to do with this site, and everyone brought their own idea to it, and elections were won and lost on it. And I approached that with just common sense, saying, acknowledging the political landscape around it, not ignoring, what I was hearing from the community, certainly not, but really just asking, what should be done with the site? What can the site do for Asheville? What can the site do for its immediate neighbors, and what uses can we get out of there? And I think because I used that approach and I didn't come in guns blazing with a predetermined idea of what success was would look like. I said success looks like agreement. I didn't come in there and say success looks like a corporate headquarters or success looks like a very well taken care of lawn. And that was a winning strategy for moving forward. You know, I was able to generate a 16-1 vote over one of the most difficult and divisive political issues of the past decade. And I'd like to be able to take that same skill set to some other difficult issues that face our city.
Well, that brings me up to one of the more interesting questions. There are 12 of you running as candidates for city council. That's a lot of candidates.
Less than 2 years ago, in fact, though.
Yeah, well, 12 of you. And how do you differentiate yourself from the other 11?
Well, I am the youngest and poorest candidate. Those aren't the traditional things that a candidate would be proud of, perhaps. But I'm pleased to stand out in that way because being the youngest and poorest candidate gives me a lot in common with the people in this city that struggle the most. And I think that I can understand the issues and the problems that people like me face better than someone who owns a very lovely house in North Asheville.
One thing that's going to be coming up is with having to deal with the idea of voting instead of at large, voting for districts. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm very much against it. The Republican control in this state has successfully gerrymandered in their favor the U.S. Congress races, General Assembly races, the state Senate races, and now they're working on the smaller races, judicial and municipal races. In some cities, there are good reasons to have districts. Asheville is not a good location for districts, and whatever the shortcomings of our politics in this city, those problems don't come from having at-large districts.
If voters want to find out more about you, where can they go for more information?
You can find me on Facebook, Andrew Fletcher for Asheville City Council. It's just a few clicks away.
Andrew Fletcher, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Peter Kent reporting for Asheville FM News.